This is Scream, Chapter 3 of the Create, Detonate side stories. A Captain America, Iron Man, Marvel Cinematic Universe fanfic, written by Paper Faith and read by Rena Jenkins, as part of Pod Together 2015. These stories are rated R, for content, not sex, sorry, and contain the pairing Natasha Stark, James Bucky Barnes, and the relationships between Natasha Stark and James Bucky Barnes, James Bucky Barnes and Steve Rogers, Steve Rogers and Natasha Stark, with additional tags for female Tony Stark, Ficklets, Alternate Universe, Canon Divergence, Timestamp, Collection, Dark, Angst, Aftermath of Torture, Arguments, Pop Culture. Tags to be added. This is hard, and it won't make any sense without reading Create Detonate first. Praise kink, sort of. Full body cuddles. Note. These stories borrow heavily from canon previously established in the fic Create Detonate, and as such will not make quite so much sense or be nearly as enjoyable without having consumed that fanwork first. Check out the fic or the podfic, because they're both fan-fucking-tastic. Summary. Common ground. Or something like it. Steve has always found the word scream misleading. Or maybe not misleading, simply too broad. A child calling for its mother is screaming. An angry person shouting is screaming. Someone yelling for a fresh roll of toilet paper is screaming. Technically, the noise that wakes him is screaming, too. But it sounds... He's heard screams like that before. In the Hydra labs, during the war. Noises that were only sound, no trace of coherence, of words or grammar left. Noises full of raw human emotion. Of pain, of hate, of rage. Something primal and shrill and awful. He's on his feet and halfway down the hallway before he even registers where he is. Stark Manor, New York, 21st century. The war has been over for a long time. But there's still that screaming. He reaches Stark's and Bucky's bedroom a moment later, flings open the door, and finds... He doesn't know what he expected. An attack? A tickle fight? Intruders? Something. Not for the room to be perfectly ordered as always, except for the woman cowering in the corner. And that is what Tasha is doing. She has somehow flung herself off the bed and into the farthest corner of the room, legs drawn to her chest, one arm wrapped around them, the other shielding her chest, nails digging in hard enough to leave bloody gouges in their wake. Her eyes are open but unseeing, and as Steve watches, horrified, her inarticulate shrieks dissolve into begging sobs.
Oh, please, no, no, don't, please, no.
She twists her head sideways, as if trying to escape something, someone. And Steve finally, belatedly, understands that this isn't just a nightmare caused by the earlier mission, by the people they saved from one of Hydra's labs less than 12 hours ago. Tasha twists and whimpers and begs, and Steve realizes that what he's seeing is a flashback. It's a memory. On the heels of that realization, Bucky slams into him. Literally. He elbows Steve out of the doorway with enough strength behind it to send the super soldier slamming into the door jamb shoulder first, a lance of pain shooting up his neck. By the time Steve regains his footing, physically as well as mentally, his best friend is crouched a good few feet out of Stark's reach, quietly speaking to her, for once entirely in English.
It's okay, You're at home. It's okay. They're dead. They're all dead. It's just me. Just Jamie. You're okay. It's only a nightmare. You're in your bedroom. Jarvis is keeping watch. You're fine. You're okay. They're all dead. You killed them all, Tasha. All of them. You killed them and they can't hurt you anymore. It's just a nightmare. Your reactor is okay. You're okay. Come on. Come on. Breathe. Jamie? Steve expects Bucky to move now, to hug Tasha, but he stays right where he is. Yeah, you with me? Knew I shouldn't have slept under that shit today. She shakes her head, takes a few deep breaths, and then, visibly steeling herself, rolls onto her knees. One arm stays crossed over her chest, covering her reactor as she knee walks forward just far enough to collapse into Bucky's arms. He's been expecting it. Catches her effortlessly and maneuvers them both into a comfortable position with her sitting on top of him, her face buried in his neck. He keeps stroking her hair, and Steve finally finds the decency to leave the room and close the door behind himself. Natalia, is leaning next to the door, giving him an even look. She's wearing workout clothes, the same as Bucky. So that's where they were. Usually, much to his chagrin, Tasha and Bucky are pretty much joined at the hip. Now Steve thinks he might know why. He struggles for words. How? When? Why? But he knows the answer. Afghanistan. He knew, after reading the reports S.H.I.E.L.D. provided, that something in the Stark Air must have been broken then. He never considered the details. He never wondered how Tasha broke, even after accepting she had. He never cared enough. But what he just saw, the woman he just witnessed in the throes of a flashback strong enough to make her beg, that wasn't the sassy, arrogant, flashy genius he's come to know and, to be perfectly honest, barely tolerate on good days. Oh, he knew there had to be more to her for Bucky to care so deeply, for Natalia to like her, to side with her. He's caught glimpses sometimes, during missions like the one today, where she'd been painfully gentle with the survivors they had found. When she looks at Bucky, or lets Natalia play with her hair. He knew that if she wanted to, she could be a perfectly nice person. He also knew that, for him, she never wanted to. What happened to her? He asks, voice pitched low despite the closed door. The younger woman just shrugs, a fluid movement, full of a dancer's grace. Does it matter? He wants to know. Wants to understand her, the world she comes from, the world he lives in. He still feels lost. He knows the words, the facts, yes, knows that Natasha Stark spent 3 months in the hands of terrorists in Afghanistan, but he doesn't know what that means. Terrorism is a word everyone uses these days, but he has no reference, no comparison. Are they like Hydra? Are they like Nazis? Do they treat their prisoners according to international agreements? Do they torture? Do they rape? He doesn't know those things. And the lack of understanding makes him feel afloat, adrift, and lost, and he hates that feeling. It makes him angry. And no one causes that feeling in him more often than Tasha. So far ahead of her time that even the present must seem like ancient history to her. So, yes, he wants to know. To understand her past, her present, and maybe if he's lucky, her. But does it really matter? Does he need to know the gruesome details? Grudgingly, he shakes his head. A small, crooked smile flashes across Natalia's face in what Steve thinks is approval. Come on, she prompts, pushing away from the wall and wandering off in the direction of the kitchen. He follows her, sits at the island as he watches her pull down mugs and boil milk on the stove, grate the dark chocolate he was told not to touch on pain of death. She adds sugar, some kind of dark liquid, stirs until the chocolate is completely dissolved, then pours it into four mugs, preheated in the microwave. She gets the coffee machine to just foam milk without making coffee, and adds that to the full mugs, topping everything off with mini marshmallows. She puts her concoctions on a tray and carries them into the living room, where she sits down comfortably, grabbing an afghan lying around and draping it over her legs. Pass me one of those? She asks, breaking the silence abruptly. Steve, still standing around like an idiot, passes her a mug, almost burning his fingers as he does. Natalia accepts the offering with her hands draped under the blanket, protecting her palms from the heat. Then, without another word, she settles in. For want of anything better to do, Steve joins her a minute later, sitting on her left, a foot of space between them, leaving the other half of the sofa for the people the other two mugs are for. And also abusing the woman next to him as a buffer. They come 10 minutes later, Tasha still damp from a shower, dressed in fresh clothes. A sweater that cannot possibly belong to her, bulky enough to hide her torso completely, and Bucky hovers behind her. Except not behind her. Not really. In fact, he makes a point of never being out of her peripheral vision, keeping himself visible to her at all times. To reassure her of his presence, perhaps. Or, Steve thinks darkly, to let her keep an eye on all potential threats. His mind follows that train of thought, wondering why she would possibly need to keep in mind all males within view. And then stopping fast. Bucky was a bit like that after Steve freed him from Hydra during the war. Jumpy. Paranoid. Not always recognizing friend from foe. Maybe that's why he doesn't begrudge his dame the way she can't look at him straight on right now. He just follows her, careful not to touch, waits for her cues. She sits next to Natalia, grabs one of the mugs without so much as twitching at the heat, and inhales the aroma of the hot chocolate, darkly sweet with the tang of alcohol just noticeable. It's delicious. She burrows into the other woman's side, seeking out comfort, and Bucky follows the moment she smiles at him, reaching out one hand. He plasters himself along her other side, covering her with his body like he's expecting heavy fire any second. He finds them another blanket. There always seem to be a dozen of them lying around this room, and drapes it over them both. Natalia shares a corner of her own with Tasha, and they settle in to stay just as the TV turns itself on. Cartoons. Mindless entertainment. Briefly, over the heads of the ladies, Bucky's eyes meet Steve's, and somehow, Steve manages a little smile, something like defeat in his expression. No one speaks except to praise the hot chocolate, and for the next hour, they all fall into a trance-like state, more asleep than awake. Natalia gives in, her head on Tasha's shoulder. Bucky follows, using Tasha's lap as a pillow. They must have worked out like all hell to succumb like this.
Tasha herself is obviously equally exhausted, but she jerks herself back to wakefulness every time she gets close to drifting off, yanking herself back into the present, where a sentient sponge is having a nonsensical conversation with a starfish. Steve thinks there might be a deep-sea diving squirrel, but he's a little terrified that paying actual attention might make his brain drip from his ears. So he watches Howard's daughter instead, as she hurts herself time and again, battling the inevitable. He sees her looking at the other two, something like desperation flitting across her features, and he thinks, "I'll keep watch," he says, carefully not whispering. Whispering sounds like secrets, sounds like danger, and is a surefire way to wake everyone up again. Tasha's head shoots up painfully, wide eyes fixed on him like she forgot he was there. He doesn't believe it for a second. "Sleep," he tells her. "I'm not tired. I'll keep watch." It helped Bucky sometimes to know someone was watching out for him. That someone would wake him when his monsters came haunting. He doesn't really expect Tasha to take him up on the offer. Doesn't think she trusts him enough for this. But she just sighs and sinks back into the couch, her head on Natalia's, their hair mixing and mingling. Her fingers bury themselves in Bucky's messy bun, massaging lightly. Within moments, she's gone, sandwiched between her two friends. "They are all going to hurt so badly tomorrow morning." But since sunup is only a few hours away, Steve doesn't think there's much point in trying to transfer them into bed. Instead, he sits, watches the sponge and the starfish and the squirrel. And is that a cantankerous squid? And tries not to think too much about Natasha Stark and all the contradictions that make her so confusing. He keeps watch until dawn. The end.